I hope you can notice that our theme today is remembering Jesus. One of the things for which Jesus was especially remembered was the way that he ate, with whom he ate, and how he ate. It's really important for us to consider. But our passage today from 1 Corinthians 11 puts the eating in a framework.
To get us thinking about what's going on in 1 Corinthians 11, I want to watch a little video clip. I hope you like baseball, but I really want to focus in on just one of those bloopers. That little piece right there, what happened? What happened in that little piece? Well, there was a lack of unity on the ball team. They were all chasing after the ball. They weren't communicating with one another. They ran into each other, and the ball dropped to the ground when they should have caught the ball. There's a lack of teamwork. And that's exactly the situation that we find in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, there's a big problem. There are factions in the church. In our passage today, the very, very first word that was read for us is the word for. You've heard the memorable aphorism to say, what is the therefore, therefore? But in this case, we can say, what's the for? Why is this word for the first word of this passage? Because this whole paragraph that relates to the Lord's Supper is in the context of factions. The Lord's Supper is not being talked about here just for the sake of talking about the Lord's Supper, but because it connects to what was going on before. And in verse 18 of this same chapter, we see this. To begin with, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. That's the problem. There's problems in the church of Corinth because they are divided over so many issues, including theological issues. And it's a big deal. It is a very big deal for Paul. So much so that if you were to flip over to chapter 1 of this same book, in fact, if you want to do so as I also do, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 14 and 15, we find a very, what's the right word, striking or amazing statement by Paul. He says this, I thank God, so far, so good, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Can you imagine an apostle saying, I'm glad I baptized so few of you? How about if you went to your DS and said, DS, I'm so happy this year to report to you, I only baptized one person this year. I'm so proud of this. I thank God for this. I only baptized two people. This is really great. It's not that Paul doesn't like baptism. It's that baptism for Paul is less important than unity in the church. Wow, that's a strong, strong language right there. I'm glad that I didn't baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. And not only that, he goes on to say, oh yeah, I think maybe there was some more that I baptized. He's not thinking about his baptisms. He's not keeping track of that. He's more concerned about the unity in the church. And so back in chapter 11, in our passage, the purpose of talking about the Lord's Supper is that this is the basis for our unity. How so? Because all of us partake of the same bread. All of us partake of the same cup. Why? Because it's all Christ's body, Christ's blood. None of us can do anything aside from Christ. It's only Christ. There's no one, sorry to say, the GS is not better than us. The bishop is not better than us because he takes the same cup, the same bread. And we're not worse than anyone. We share together. The unity that we have is the unity of the body of Christ because we share the communion. So we have four I received from the Lord, what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night he was betrayed took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Now I want to focus in on this phrase, do this in remembrance of me. Usually, we think about that in terms of Jesus' death. And for sure, it is a reminder of his death. But I think it's more than that. I think it's not only his death that we are to remember. I think this is something like a memorial service for someone who has passed away. If we were to have a memorial service, we would come and we would invite speakers to remember the person that has passed away. Most likely when we do that, we will not remember the last hours of that person's life. But we will remember the whole life. We will remember those instances that were so special to us. Remembering Jesus. Yes, his death. We need to remember his death. But not only his death. Let's remember his life. What he did in his life. That's why I invited our actors to portray for us his life from his earliest to the last. And to remember that he was remembered for the way that he ate, with whom he ate, how he ate. Yeah, we need to do that like he did. I've invited Ferdinand to give us a remembrance, his remembrance of his experience of Jesus. Please come.
I know some of you already heard my testimony, but this is only a part of my testimony. In the book of Acts, chapter 9, we could see Paul's encounter with Jesus Christ. Even in Luke 24:15, there were also two disciples who had encounter with Jesus Christ in the road to Emmaus. Then I asked myself, when was the last time that I had my personal experience with Christ? There were many situations in my life wherein I experienced having a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. I know some of us had the same or similar encounter with Jesus Christ before our conversion. But this too is my most unforgettable one. My first encounter with Jesus when I intentionally looked for a good music at AM station. Then to my surprise, I heard the sweet message of the gospel that leads me to seek for true salvation. This was the beginning of my journey to find Christ and have a fruitful encounter with him. In my pursuit to find truth, I enrolled myself in a Bible correspondent studies. Then I learned about sin, prayer, church, and how to receive Christ as my Savior. But along with that journey, indeed, I have my personal experience with Christ because from day to day, I always thought of him and I felt his presence of being connected with him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, "But from there you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." My second encounter with Jesus Christ is when I cannot surrender my profession because it gave me an opportunity to travel to other countries for free and to earn lots of money. I was already a believer at that time, but I shunned my ears not to submit to his own plan, but to follow mine. I intentionally skip attending church, for its message is always obedience and submission. One day, there was a person who was a demon-possessed, and my roommates knew that I am the only Christian in our apartment. That time, I was hesitant to rebuke the evil spirit, but the Holy Spirit reminds me of my true identity with Christ. That through Jesus Christ, we can be used as a tool to cast out demons. I encourage everyone to pray and ask for repentance for our sins, and in a few minutes, the person was released. I can't understand myself that time being used as a channel of God's power. It was a real confirmation to me to follow Jesus Christ. Without hesitation that day, I asked for forgiveness for being so stubborn of not submitting to his will. Truly, God never abandoned me when it comes to my needs. He supplied tremendously that even myself, still in amazement of having a friend, a mother, a best friend, and my fellow advocate in children ministry who supported me for my studies and research paper and other needs. After praying a prayer of repentance of not submitting to his will in my life, I surrendered to the will of God. Then I found peace. Indeed, in John 14:27, it says, "Peace I leave with you, not the word giveth, but I give unto you." So the promise that I claim is found in Jeremiah 29:11 that says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." Like Paul and the two disciples had an encounter with Christ, many people still lining up to experience having an encounter with Christ, and later on, testify about the goodness with gratitude of how Christ planned, revealed unto them. That's all.
Thank you, Ferdinand. Each one of us has an experience with Jesus, don't we? When we remember Jesus, we don't only remember his death so long ago. Let's also remember his activity in our lives today. Later on, we'll come to communion. Remember Jesus, his death, to be sure, but his resurrection and his life within us. I'll also invite you later on to share your remembrance of Jesus. So think about that. What might you want to share? How you remember Jesus? But there's another aspect here of remembering Jesus. If you look at verse 29, we read this: "For all who eat and drink without discerning the body, eat and drink judgment against themselves." What's this "without discerning the body"? What's that doing there? I've often thought that that means thinking of the body of Christ. Yes, for sure, it's the body of Christ. But let's not forget that we are the body of Christ. In the next chapter, Paul talks a lot about us as being the body of Christ. I think that's in view here as well, that we're the body of Christ. So the whole flow of logic here is there's a big problem in the church because there's division in the church. But when we recognize that we all partake of the same bread and the same cup, we're all alike. That's the basis of our unity. But if we lose track of us as the body of Christ, we bring judgment on ourselves because we are susceptible to those very divisions that we find in the Corinthian church. So when we remember Jesus, we should also remember that we can see Jesus in one another. When I look at you, I should see Jesus there. When I look at you, I should see Jesus in you. Sometimes I don't see Jesus because I'm blind to Jesus in you. Let's work on our eyes. Let's work on our eyes to see one another, to see Jesus in one another. I'd hope to have some video testimonies, but we ran into some technical glitches on that. But some of you reported on the video about when you saw Jesus in your classmates. So later on, when I invite you for testimony time, I invite you also to share a testimony of that type, where you saw Jesus in someone else. Because we are to remember Jesus when we come to the table. Yes, we can remember Jesus' death and resurrection. Of course, we cannot forget that. But let's remember also Jesus' experience in our lives and when we have seen Jesus in the lives of others. So let us live in this unity. God has called us to unity. He's given us the basis for that unity. Let us live into that. Our response today is to partake of communion. When we take communion together today, let's remember that we do so in unity in the body of Christ. So we'll